Well, good morning. So again, today is an intentional family service, meaning that the older elementary children are here with us as opposed in their own ministry rooms this morning. And we do this every time there's a fifth Sunday in a month. And so with that, I'm going to need two kid volunteers to come up here and to just help me for a second. And if you're willing, just raise your hand. All right, I see one right there. Why don't we have those two? Come on up. Come on up. All right, and they're going to help me for a second, and if you didn't get a bag when you were coming in for the kids, there's some in the foyer. You might want to go grab one of those, but hello. Why don't we start by just introducing yourselves? What's your name?
Avery.
Avery?
And Carter.
Okay, Avery and Carter. I'm just going to start by asking you just a couple questions, okay? And one question I just want to ask you is, what is a time other than this when you were chosen for something? Can you think of a time other than this that you were chosen for something? How about, do you guys have, like, I know one of you is homeschooled, but how about roles in school? Do you have things that sometimes the teacher needs special help with? Did you ever get chosen for that? What was it?
To be the line leader.
To be a line leader. That's a pretty big job, right? How about, I know you have chores at home, Carter, right? Do you ever get special chores that you're assigned, chosen for? Some that you like? Which one do you like?
Probably like helping the animals or like
helping the animals. I knew she was going to say that, right? It's special to be chosen for that kind of thing, right? So with that, I want to thank these guys for coming up here, and I got a little gift for each of you, okay? Just take those back to your seats, and thank you for helping me out. Let's give them a round of applause. So, church, with that said, we have to admit, right, that it is special to be chosen for something. And hopefully at some point in your life you've had that feeling of being just that, being chosen, whether that be, again, chosen maybe in gym class, you know, to be on someone's team. I remember that when kickball was going, right? You got picked on somebody's team, or maybe chosen for an award, or like we mentioned, maybe to be in a play, right, at the school, or maybe for you, maybe it's being chosen for a job, a certain job you've been going for, or maybe the promotion, or maybe, get this, maybe chosen to be someone's date for a dance or for a wedding even, right? That's special. Or maybe you recall being chosen for acceptance into the college that you really just dreamed of going to. Or even chosen, think about this, to be someone's husband or wife, or to be a part of the special project at work. So whatever it may be, that feeling, okay, that feeling that somebody, think about this, looked at all the options and chose you. Think about that. That's pretty awesome, right? Well, with that, in the next sermon series called Sincerely, which we are softly introducing today, but that we will really dive into and more fully kick off next Sunday, we are going to take a bigger look, church, into what it means to be chosen and, in fact, chosen by God. Because we are, okay? We are. And we're going to be taking this look by reading through a letter written by a man named Peter with help from this guy named Silvanus. And the letter is addressed to Christians who are living in five regions, okay, which were located in what is modern-day Turkey. So starting in January, we're really going to get into the series and dive into it, including with a daily reading plan available to you all, okay, it's documented on a nice little bookmark, and you can grab yours, you know, to be ready for next week. If you didn't get one on Christmas Eve, you can grab an envelope labeled Sincerely in the back, and that's available at the Connection Center in the back. And so with that said, you know, for today, as we stand at the edge of 1 year, ready to jump into the next, we want to gently begin this journey by being encouraged with just the two initial verses of this letter of 1 Peter, okay? So you can get there now in your Bible if you want to. 1 Peter, which it's in the New Testament, the back part of your Bible, and it's pretty far in the back part of your Bible. It's after the book of Hebrews and James, but it's slightly before the book of Revelation. Now, as you get there, let me just say this, okay? If you have ever received a handwritten letter, then you know how special that is, right? Now, you may have even experienced that this Christmas season when maybe somebody mailed you a personal note, maybe something that was documenting their past year, something like that. and in a heartfelt way they were checking in on and encouraging you, those are just really nice to receive, right? Well, with that said, it was the same way in ancient times. You see, a letter, okay, first of all, a letter was a costly endeavor. A costly endeavor to create, and think about it, to deliver. Okay, think about that. There wasn't a post office, okay? There wasn't a mailbox drop on Mechanic Street next to M&T Bank, like in our nice little village, right? And a letter was considered, especially in these ancient times, to be an extension of the person who was writing it. As if that person were actually there with you. In fact, one of the writers from that time period said this, "When you look at my letter," he said, "think that you are looking at me. When you look at my letter, think that you are looking at me." Now, a modern day equivalent to all of this may be something we know as FaceTime, right? You know, our first choice would be for that person to physically be there with us, but FaceTime has become the next best thing, right? Well, back then, that was the same with a letter, you see, a letter from someone. And so with all that said, this letter of 1 Peter, it would have been passed around from church to church to be read on Peter's behalf with great anticipation. Not just breezed through, but read with great anticipation, great expectation of what he might say. And it would have been read with great gratitude that he even took the time, that he took the resources to address them. And so as this series unfolds, we're going to better understand why they would appreciate this so much, okay? And why, in fact, we should as well, based on all that they were going through, that we can relate to, okay, in shades of, in our time and day. And they also would have read it as if he were there with them, like I said. In short, it would have been seen as being the next best thing to Peter being there himself. So with that, he starts off his letter by saying this. 1 Peter 1, this letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Now what Peter means when he says that he is an apostle is that he knows what he is talking about, okay? And why does he say this? Well, because he hung out with Jesus, guys, in person. Meaning he saw how Jesus did things. Meaning he learned from Jesus. Meaning he had meals with Jesus. Meaning he traveled even with Jesus. So in short, Peter is saying, I'm legit, guys. I'm legit. I knew Jesus when he was here on this earth. So you might want to listen to what I have to say. And so it is from this rightful position, you see, of knowledge and authority based on that knowledge, that hands-on knowledge of Jesus, that Peter continues his letter. But before we keep reading it, I just want to prep us all a little bit for the next verse, okay? So parents, when you walked in, you got that little bag for each kid, right? Well, at this time, I'm going to ask you to take out the fidget spinner and the strip of stickers, okay? The fidget spinner and the strip of stickers. And as we read this next section, some words are going to be bolded on the screen, okay, that correspond to one of the labels. So when you recognize that, take that label and help your kids put them on the fidget spinners, okay, so that we have that stuff out, okay? Everybody ready for this? You guys got your stuff out?
Ready.
All right. So here we go. 1 Peter 1. I, Peter, am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. Okay, so here we go for the label parts, okay? Peter then writes this. God. Pause right there, okay? Do you have a God sticker? You should have a God sticker. That goes in the center circle of your fidget spinner, okay? So put that God sticker right in the center circle. Everybody got that? All right, let's keep going. Then it says God the Father, okay? Now, you should have that sticker too, right? You guys see the Father sticker? That goes on one of the outer rings of your fidget spinner, one of the outer circles, okay? Everybody got that? Okay, cool. Next, it says this, God the Father knew you and chose you long ago and his spirit. Do you have something that looks like spirit? You should have something that says Holy Spirit, okay? Take that sticker, put it on another outer circle of your fidget spinner. And then it goes on to say this, his spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, you should have a sun sticker. Do you see the sun sticker? You got that? Okay, that should go on another outer ring. That represents Jesus Christ. Okay, so everybody got their stickers on. Now that we've got it all together, let's just read it like in its entirety, okay? Because that was kind of broken up. So this is what he writes again. I, Peter, am writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in the provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago, and his Spirit has made you holy. As a result, you have obeyed him and have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Now, what this passage and our fidget spinner activity nicely has revealed to us is what is referred to, my friends, as the Trinity, a doctrine or a key belief that is really important for us to better understand God. Now, with all that said, it is not possible for us as humans to fully understand God. He is just that great. He is just that mighty. He is just that powerful. So trying to fully explain him, including the Trinity, that would be like trying to explain, I don't know, the game of dodgeball to a guinea pig or something. You know what I mean? Their ability to understand just isn't there, right? However, what we can understand about God is that God, okay, God is three individual persons that are one God. In fact, check this image out for a second. All right, what we see here is God is at the center, and there is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And God is all of these things, those three persons. But even with that said, the Father is not the Son. The Father is not the Spirit. The Spirit's not the Son. Because each person of the Trinity, they have unique roles. They have unique purposes. But even with that said, they are all in unity together as God. Now, we're going to explain all those unique purposes today, but in this letter, what Peter is doing is he reminding the Christians all throughout that region, he's reminding them about how much God loves them and what he, being God the Father and God the Son and God the Spirit, out of that love, all that he has done for them. Again, they are all independent persons of God, but they all work together as God, just like the fidget spinner. Just like it has different sections, but they're all part of one unit, right? They're all part of one item. And as God, based on all the good that they do together, well, do you know what? That means that God is light in darkness. Light in a dark world. In fact, one of the outer circles of your spinner, it should, if you press it, it should light up. You see that? Press that. And then spin that thing. Isn't that just cool how it's like all one? So what the Trinity shows us is this, okay, that God is multidimensional. He's multidimensional. And get this, since you and I are made in his image, which we are, that's what the Bible tells us, so are we multidimensional. So what that means is by understanding God better, we actually, get this, we actually understand ourselves better. But right now, I want to go back to this passage from 1 Peter because it is important. It's, in fact, very important, in fact, to notice what God the Father did. Did you notice what he did? Let's relook at it in a second to make sure that you notice what he did. It says this, God the Father knew you and chose you. God the Father knew you and chose you long ago. Don't let that slip by you. Do not let that slip by. God chose you. He chose you. While being chosen for the job or to be the line leader or to play a part in the play or to take care of the cats, I don't know. Well, that is great. I got to tell you, there is no choosing more powerful, more meaningful, church, than being chosen by God, which you were, which you are. In fact, in the book of Psalms, another book in our Bible, it says this, that it says that God sewed us together in our mother's womb. and that he knew you before you were even born. Isn't that amazing? That's amazing to think about. That we are thought of, that we are loved, in fact, that much, and by God, no less. God knew us, and then he chose us. And he didn't choose us randomly, you see, but he looked all around. He looked all around at his whole creation as documented in the book of Genesis, and he chose us. What are you doing with that honor? How are you responding? How are you behaving? How are you conducting yourself in light of that choosing? You see, when God made the world, he had the choice of all the plants, all the animals, and again, in the book of Genesis, he said that they were good, okay? But then, God made humans, guys, and he said that they were what? Very good. He chose humans, not dogs, not cats, not rats. He didn't even choose bats or chimpanzees. He didn't even choose guinea pigs, guys, but humans. He chose humans to be in the closest relationship with him forever. Forever. In fact, he chose to make us in his very image, meaning that as he made us, it's as if he looked at his own reflection and he said, I'm going to use myself as a model for these humans. That's amazing. That is amazing. Go read it for yourself. Genesis chapter 1 this week. So God chose you. He chose you. And then as Peter says in his letter, he goes on to say that his spirit, did you see what the spirit did? The spirit has made you holy. God has made you holy by his spirit. Now, church, God alone, okay? God alone is perfectly holy with no help from anyone else. He is above. He is beyond all of us. Yet he decided, okay? He decided to make us holy. And holy means what? It means that we are set apart. Holy means that we are special. It means we live differently than others because we are living for God. And we are not living for ourselves. And how are we made holy? Well, just keep following the passage. It continued with this. As a result, you have obeyed him and you have been cleansed. Think about that. You have been cleansed by the blood of Jesus Christ. So God has cleansed you through his Son, Jesus the Christ. Meaning that Jesus, he took all of our sin, every wrong thing we have ever done, and he paid the penalty for it by dying on the cross. And in this way, we have been cleansed of all of our sins, all of the times that we did something that we weren't supposed to. And it's all because of Jesus. And he will keep paying for our sin. Because again, he alone is what? He alone is perfect. He alone is perfectly holy. You and I, we're in the process. We're in the process of being made that way by his Spirit. So when we still sin, he's right there. He's right there with us. He's right there to cleanse us. He's right there to help us to do better the next time by the power of that Spirit. And so it is when we believe this, when we accept what Jesus did for us, that we are made or that we are called holy and thus set apart from the rest of the world. Think about that in a wonderful way. In a way where we no longer have to live the way that everyone else does. Which is where, by the way, this is where the obedience comes in. We saw that in our verse. You see, Jesus empowers us to live a different way. He empowers us to do things, for example, like obey our parents, even when we don't really feel like it. And for us adults, Jesus empowers us to live a way, like even maybe through, I don't know, obeying our employer, even though we don't really feel like it. Or maybe his empowerment looks like us making God-honoring and wholesome to our body choices, even when we don't really feel like it. Or maybe it looks like you or I forgiving others, you know the ending, even when we don't really feel like it. Or maybe it looks like for us sacrificing unselfishly when we don't feel like it. or doing all that we can possibly do, even admitting, get this, even admitting that we are wrong, to save our relationships, to save our marriages. For we live, do you get this? We live and we are to live a new life with a new hope and with a new never-ending power and energy. Now, with that said, doesn't that sound like a wonderful thing to give yourself completely over to this new year? And let me be really clear. Really clear. God wants everyone. Did you hear me? He wants everyone in on this wonderful thing. We, those of us who are current believers in this room, I hate to break it to you, but we are not any better on our own merits than any of the people currently in this room that are non-believers, or in this world, by the way. We're not any better on our own merits. We just have found and we have accepted He who cleanses. He who cleanses us and will cleanse all of sin and its implications and its stains. God wants and chooses and He hopes for all of humanity, guys, to come to a saving and a forgiving knowledge of Him, which just takes a yes. It just takes a yes from you, whoever you are. A yes that I receive His life for mine, His life given as a sacrifice for mine. And with that being said, you can take care of business today with God. If you haven't done that, you can do that today with God with a yes to Him. And I'll tell you what, you're going to feel some freedom. You're going to feel freedom that comes with that. Now, with all that said, for the believers in here, you know, I was thinking about this. Wouldn't it be awesome if we could write a letter like Peter's to everyone? Just so that they could know all that God has done for them, that He has chose them, and that He wants to make them holy, that He wants to help them be a blessing to others for their own blessing and for their well-being and for His glory. Well, guess what? You can. You can write this letter. You are meant to write this letter with your life, with your very life, with how you live it, with how you love God by loving the people of the world with it. What do I mean? Well, there's another letter in the Bible that says this. It's 2 Corinthians, and I'm going to read from verse 3, starting in verse 2, or chapter 3, starting in verse 2. Your lives, get this, your lives are a letter written in our hearts. Everyone can read it and recognize our good work among you. And get this, clearly you are a letter from Jesus Christ. This letter is written not with pen and ink, but with the Spirit of the living God. Church, you see, God knew. He knew that His own Son. He knew that His own Son was the best way to let His people know about His love. So God sent Him. We celebrated that at Christmas, right? But then, several years later, Jesus went back into heaven with God the Father, so that the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, could be sent. And thus with everyone, everywhere who believes in Jesus Christ. And that Spirit, His Spirit living in us, writes a letter to the world. That's what it does. His Spirit living in us is to write a letter to the world through us. Because to look at us is intended to see Jesus. Church, God decided to send you. God decided to send me into the world as love letters from Him to those who do not know Him or trust Him yet. Meaning others can come to know God's love for them by looking at and interacting with us. Now that's really amazing. So when you, I don't know, when you share with a friend maybe, you're living out your calling. You're living out your calling to be a love letter from God. Think about that. Or when you smile, when you say hello to the new person or even to the stranger, you are embracing your calling to be a love letter from God. And even when you or I, when we give to the church and His work through our time, our talents, or our resources, we are embracing our assignment to be love letters from God to the world all around us. And when you don't do what everyone else is doing, do you know what? when you don't do what everyone else is doing because it's wrong, you are living out being a love letter from God, embracing your assignment and saying there is a different and there is in fact a better way to live. And these are just a couple examples. So as I near a close, I just want to challenge you throughout this week, okay, to think of more. Think of more ways of how your life can be a letter from God to others. And doesn't that thought, you know, it excites me because it feels like it gives my life so much purpose and a healthy and a meaningful purpose at that. So I just go back to, as we are ready to close, what are you doing? What am I doing? What are we doing with the gift? What are we doing with the honor of being chosen? What are we doing with it? But with that said, reality has shown us that living this way, which we'll get into more in this letter, it ain't always easy. It's not always easy, but take heart, because our lives, church, and the letters of them and from them, remember, are written by who? The Holy Spirit, meaning that we are led by His Spirit, and thus we have at our disposal all the help that we could ever dream of, all the help we could ever need to do this thing, which makes it no wonder that Peter includes in this section of the letter some words like this: may God give you, he says, may God give you more and more grace. May God give you more and more grace. May God give you more and more peace. With that, I pray the same for you. I pray the same for myself as we enter together into this new year. And in fact, I'm going to pray that in a moment and for all of us. But first, what I want to do right now is I want to invite all the kids forward with one adult and bring the little popper thing from your bag, okay? Because what I want to do is I want to pray over these kiddos, okay? And then we're going to celebrate together God's love by popping the poppers after counting down from 10, okay? So come on right up here and just surround yourselves around me. Come right up. It would be helpful, but if the kids are responsible, it's okay. Just watch the chords and the instruments. Come on up, kids. And church, I'm going to ask you to stand because we're going to pray over these kids, okay? I'm going to pray first. Come right up here. All right. All right, church, let's cover these kids and even some that are not up here. Let's cover them with our prayers. Heavenly Father, we come together as just a body of believers, Lord. And I just want to pray over these kids up here and those that may not have made their way up here, Lord, that they would just really come to realize in a deep, deep way, a meaningful way, that they are chosen. They are chosen by you. And that nothing else, no one else can have them. They are yours, Lord. They are yours, and they are to be a letter of yours. And Lord, I just pray that they would embrace the Holy Spirit's work in their lives to cleanse them and to guide them throughout all of their life. Lord, we thank you for this generation of the church. And we pray that they could lead in ways that we could not even think of or imagine because of how your Holy Spirit has worked in them. I pray they would feel your forgiveness, that they would feel your joy in them throughout this entire year. I pray protection over them. And God, that you would just be with them all throughout this year. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen. All right, so you got to get the string, okay? Get the string out from the sticker. And you're all going to yell at the count of, we're going to count down to 10 and then do Happy New Year, okay? You guys ready? You'll pull it when I get to zero. Ready? Guys, ready? Don't whack me in the back. I'm going to go in the back here. I got a bald spot that could really hurt.
Oh, yeah.
Ready, church? 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Happy New Year! Happy New Year! Whoa! What? Don't point it at somebody. Here. Ready? Pull. 3, 2, 1. Oh, my. She got a broke. Oh! Happy New Year. All right, you guys can make your way to your seats. Oh, wait, one more thing. Was there one more thing in your bag?
Yes.
Sanitizer. If, who was listening? This is a test. What do you think that could signify?
Being cleansed by the blood of Jesus,
right? So when you use that sanitizer, just remember, God has cleansed you through his son, Jesus the Christ, okay? God bless you guys. Go have a seat with your folks. Watch this guitar. All right, I'm going to invite the worship team up, and I'd love to just pray similar things over us in church as adults. Heavenly Father, we just come before you, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, and I pray that every person here, not just the kids, but that we would know, that we would know, that we would feel, that we would receive this idea of being chosen by you, being made in your image, created in your image with purpose. And our purpose is to receive you and be made holy by the Holy Spirit and to be cleansed by the blood of Jesus so that there is now no more guilt, no more condemnation, but that we are free. We are free forever to be in a relationship with you. And Lord, would we embrace this relationship in 2024 like never, ever before? Would we feel your peace? Would we feel your direction in our lives? And would we be a people who live differently, even when it's hard, because of what you've done for us? And to show the world that there is a love letter from God that is written to them, one of forgiveness, one of redemption, one of freedom. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. You're standing, so we're going to worship in song.